USA, streaming live from our website at radiomaria.us and on your smartphones through the World Families app. On your home telephone at this number,
1-631-359-8743.
And on the radio in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ Alexandria, 1360 KNIR New Iberia, and on FM at 89.7 KBIO Natchitoches and 91.1 KOJO Lake Charles. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI Port Arthur. In Ohio on 88.7 FM WHJM Anna, 1600 AM WULM Springfield with translator W277AO, 103.3 FM Enon Dayton. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN Holly Daysburg Altoona. In Mississippi also on 88.1 FM WOLM D'Iberville Biloxi. In Wisconsin on 91.3 FM WRMW Peshtigo. And in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL Hammocks, Miami.
Radio Maria USA, a Christian voice in your home.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined every week, thanks be to God, by Mother Gabriel Mary and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, coming to us live via live stream from Italy. And I have to apologize. I was just speaking to Larry before the program, and we were all set to do the Mariathon today. And I found out that I had the wrong date. So I missed it by a week. So my apology. But we still want to mention the fact that, you know, it would be an awful regret to wake up one morning and recognize that either the equipment couldn't be replaced or they could not, make good with the electric bill. I mean, we don't want to wait till we have a disaster. So again, anything you can do to help support Radio Maria, especially in this Lenten season where we're giving up things. So whatever you're giving up, for example, if you're giving up ice cream and it's costing you $15 a week when you weren't giving it up, well, take that 15 a week times six, that's $90. You can make that donation of $90 and we'll get you a portrait of Louisa as well as a relic prayer card. So again, we're still going to offer these incentives. And please call if you can, 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us. I always say, better late than never. Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will from Italy. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Hello, Peter.
What a dunce I am, huh? I missed it by a week. I said, I'm all excited. I've got the script here and I'm ready to go and nothing. But again, it's not. I mean, it's always giving, you know, Mother. We talk about that. And, many months ago, Sister Francesca, bless her heart, reminded us that this divine will is the reciprocal of love. I just want to open up with talking about that reciprocal of love. Volume 29, October 26, 1931. And our blessed Lord said, quote, "My daughter, life and sanctity consists in two parts or two acts, God giving his divine will and the creature receiving it. And after she has formed within herself the life of that act of divine will that she has received, giving it back again as act of her will to then receive it again, giving and receiving, receiving and giving. Everything is in this. God could not give more than his continued act of his divine will to the creature. The creature could not give more to God, for as much as it is possible for the creature, than his divine will, received into herself as formation of her divine life. In this way, giving and receiving, receiving and giving, my divine fiat takes dominion and forms its kingdom in her. And the whole interior of the creature forms as though the people of the kingdom of the divine will." End quote. How beautiful. Reciprocal of love. That's all this is. Mother?
Yeah, the whole divine will is just all about love. God loving us, us loving him back. I was just reading in volume 11 here. It was saying our Lord was telling Luis, he said, it's hard for me not to content one who lives in my volition. Being in my will, the soul is in the intimate part of our heart, of our desires, of our affections and thoughts. Her heartbeat, her breath, and ours are one. Therefore, the joys, the pleasures, the glory, and the love that she gives us are many and great. Infinite is in their way and nature, and in no way dissimilar to ours, because they are our own. Just as in our eternal love, one enraptures the other, one forms the joy of the other, to the extent that many times, unable to contain this love and these joys, we come out with works ad extra. In the same way, we remain enraptured and delighted by this soul who does our will. Therefore, how could we render unhappy the one who makes us so happy? How not love just as we love ourselves, not as we love the other creatures, the one who loves us with our same love? So we're loving him with his same love. That's a lot of love. God loves like we could never imagine, you know. If we could understand his love for us, we couldn't live. We'd die of joy. But, you know, how our acts in divine will bring him so much delight, because it's us just allowing him to act in us, to relive his life. He loves us so much, he wants to relive his life in us. He wants to be so much a part of us. His love is so great. And he can't say no to one who lives in his will. He can't say no to his mother. They will say, go to Our Lady. Jesus cannot say no to his mother. Why? Because she lived totally in his divine will. He couldn't say no to Luisa, I'm sure, you know, a lot. Sometimes he would say no to her when she'd beg him to come and delight her in certain ways, but it was only because he was doing a greater good, bringing chastisements to people in order to save their souls. And he goes on to say, there are no curtains of secrets with this soul. Between us and her, there is no ours and hers. Everything is in common. We make up the soul by grace that which we are by nature. Can you imagine that? We become by grace what God is by nature, impeccable, etc., so that no disparity may exist between us. And as we come with our works ad extra, being unable to contain our love, in the same way unable to contain the love of the soul who does our will, we make her come out from ourselves, pointing her out to the people as our favorite one, our beloved. Only for her and for souls similar to her do we let goods descend upon earth. And only for love of these souls do we preserve the earth. Then we enclose this soul within ourselves in order to enjoy her. Because just as we, the divine persons, are inseparable, the soul who does our will becomes inseparable from us. So, you know, we're living in hard times right now. We don't know if this war is going to escalate and go to other countries. Right, we're not too far down the road from Ukraine. You know, we're here in Italy. But, you know, we know that God will protect us because we're trying to live in his divine will. And he told that to Luisa, those living in his divine will will not experience a chastisement. They're going to have peace. They're going to have joy. They're not going to feel the spiritual darkness. You know, there's spiritual darkness all over in the atmosphere, all over. I think every demon is being let loose from hell right now. You see such terrible sinfulness all over the world, terrible things. One-sex marriage, aborting babies, unimaginable things that we don't even know and see, but God sees the whole picture. How patient God is to let us continue on and hasn't destroyed us yet, you know. But that's the kind of love God has. He lets us go on. He because he knows that we will come back to living in his divine will. That knowing that God has allows him to continue to preserve the world for those people who will come back to him in that way and give him the delight and the glory that he deserves. Anybody want to share anything?
And we know, Mother, also that, you know, when God makes a statement and a promise, he doesn't renege like we do. When you mentioned about protecting us, he says that also. One of the passages he reminds us of that is in volume 11, May 18th, 1915. He says, quote, "The divine justice imposes chastisements, but neither these nor God's enemies will get close to those souls who live in my divine will. Know that I will have regard for those souls who live in my will and for the places where these souls reside," end quote. So we're always concerned about our family. I think that incorporates our family also. We're doing on behalf of others. I think really that's another key to the divine will, doing for all those who cannot do, will not do, or do not want to do. We're doing it on their behalf.
Hearing what mother said, I was thinking in these days, how is it possible that God gave us such a great gift? When I think about the lives of saints in the past, how they were growing in heroic virtues and all that, putting so much effort in loving God and proving that love to Him. And when I look at myself, I'm like, I feel so miserable, but in the same time, so grateful because like we can never merit such a great gift, no? And it's really only by the grace of God that is unimaginable that we are living exactly in this time and after Louisa and we are take this gift. I mean, receive this gift only by the grace of God. So I was reading volume 36, November 30, 1938. "Then I was thinking to myself, how can one know whether he is living in the divine will? My sweet Jesus added, my daughter, it is easy to know it. You must know that when my fiat reigns in the soul, it keeps its act in continuous operation. It cannot be present and not do something. It is life, and it must breathe, move, palpitate, make itself heard. It must have its primary operating act so the creature feels its empire and follows its acts almost continuously in the divine will. Therefore, continuation is a sure sign that one lives in it. With this continuation, he feels the need of divine breathing, motion, and attitude. Therefore, if he stops his continuous acts, he feels as though he's missing life, motion, and everything else. Soon he restarts his continuous acts because he knows that it would cost too much to do otherwise. It would cost him divine life, and one who has possessed it can hardly let it go. Now, what is this action of the creature in the divine will? It is the sequence of my life and of my will in the creature, because only my will has the virtue of being unceasing in its continuous acts. Otherwise, if it could be said so, everyone and everything would remain as if paralyzed and with no life. But this cannot be. Now, the creature does not possess by herself this virtue of operating continuously. But when united with my will, she has the virtue, the strength, the will, and the love to do it. How much she can change this? In fact, the creature who lets herself be carried and possessed by it can make such changes that she no longer recognizes herself, if she even retains a distant memory of her past life. There is also another sign. When my will sees the soul being disposed, it first embalms her, her will, her pains, with an air of peace. Then it forms its throne. Therefore, one who lives in my will possesses a strength that is never extinguished, a love that does not love anybody, but truly loves all in God. To how many sacrifices she exposes herself for all, and for each one in particular. Poor daughter, she is the true martyr and victim of all. Oh, how many times in seeing her suffering, I look at her with so much tenderness and compassion. And to cheer her up, I say, my daughter, you receive my same destiny. Poor daughter, courage. Your Jesus loves you more. And in feeling more loved by me, she smiles in the sufferings and abandons herself in my arms. My daughter, to experience, to possess what my will can do, creatures need to be inside of it. Otherwise, they won't understand a thing. So really, this is a beautiful and really useful passage. So it says a continuation, one sign and another sign, peace. Really, like another proof that we cannot do anything by ourselves. Like Jesus only asks us this seed, this desire to do everything in Him, like to disappear for Him. No, like to let go of our own self, of our ego, like and to exist only in Him, that our actually only desire be to do everything what God wants us to do, like not to live by ourselves, no, like in a way, kind of like to stop existing for ourselves, to this desire to be annihilated for Him and for His purposes, like to have constantly in mind this thought and this desire to do everything for God and for the salvation of souls, like in each little thing that we do. And so the problem is with this, at least I see it in myself, like the forgetfulness and not being attentive and mindful of it. So really I need to say every morning and when I remember it that I'm forgetting, like to ask my angel guardian and to ask Mary and Saint Joseph and to keep me mindful and attentive to do acts and rounds. Yes, thank you.
And you mentioned also about sister, about, you know, that we must always be united with Christ. We always must be Christ-like. And, you know, he mentions that too in the, there's a compilation of passages. It's called The Nothingness of the Soul. And the one, I don't remember the date of the passage, but Jesus explains, and this is perfect, because again, without Christ, we're nothing. He says, we are nothing but a shadow. Now think about that. A shadow needs something to cause it. So the uncaused cause, God, is the object, the source of our life. If that source leaves, the shadow is gone. So we are nothing but a shadow. Very, very well put. And I was last comment too, when you mentioned about how glorious we are to be alive at this time, we really are. In fact, we didn't mention that in the beginning because I was just so stunned. I missed the Maria thought. I apologize on that. But, you know, St. Louis de Montfort mentions many things that are very, very poignant. But the one thing he says is, quote, the formation and education of the great saints who will come at the end now are reserved for her, Mary, end quote. Hence, Radio Maria, the school of Mary. It's through Mary this battle is going to be won. Mother, sisters?
Yes, I was reading the 24 Hours of the Passion. I think this prayer book is especially really great to really comprehend the love of God for us, not only to know His passion, what He went through interiorly and exteriorly, but it really teaches us how much God loves us and why He chose to go through this passion. So this is from, I think, the fifth hour. My child, do you want to know what it is that torments me more than the very executioners? Rather, those are nothing compared to this. It is the eternal love, which, wanting primacy in everything, is making me suffer all at once and in the most intimate parts, but the executioners will make me suffer little by little. Ah, my child, it is love which prevails in everything, over me and within me. Love is nail for me. Love is scourge. Love is crown of thorns. Love is everything for me. Love is my perennial passion, while that of men is in time. Ah, my child, enter into my heart. Come to be dissolved in my love, and only in my love will you comprehend how much I suffered and how much I loved you and you will learn to love me and to suffer only out of love. So Jesus really did everything out of love, and love was everything for him. When he was scourged, beaten, crowned with thorns, ridiculed, humiliated, stripped naked and crucified, he didn't have any grudges against anyone. He didn't curse, he didn't take revenge, nor have any resentment or hatred in his heart. Even though he was God and capable of stopping it, he did not hurt anyone. He rather carried a cross and suffered and endured everything for our salvation, to destroy all possible imaginable sins, so that we can be righteous, so we can be stand in the presence of God and have eternal life. But we can never imagine this kind of love for someone, and we would never know how immensely God loves us unless we become all love, just like Jesus. And this is one of the prayers of Luisa Picareta, and the following. And we should be clothed with love and be nourished by love to truly know and comprehend God's love for us. Otherwise, we're going to keep judging others and finding faults. We're not going to forgive one another and be merciful, because we see ourselves as sinners, and our hearts cannot be at rest unless when we don't experience God's love and accept his forgiveness and his mercy for us. And we have to receive first from God so that we can give back, and we can't have anything that is not given by God. And we have to know that we are loved. We are loved, forgiven, and accepted by God, because God is our loving Father. So he's always willing to forget everything and forgive completely. So during the Lent, rather than being sad and gloomy, thinking about our failures, our faults and weaknesses, of course, we have to repent our sins, but we should focus on his love that made him come to the earth and die on the cross for our sake. And let us thank him and love him for all the things that he has done for us. So read the Passion book and receive the love God has for us, and give him the love back to God.
Thank you, Sister, for acknowledging the magnitude of the Hours of the Passion. By the way, the Hours of the Passion in its Italian translation does have the imprimatur and the elapsed of the Church. Also, Father Inuzzi, in his opinion, mentions that the greatest opportunity for the quickest advancement in the divine will is through the Hours of the Passion, because it delineates an active participation, whereas a passive knowledge being absorbed is greater than itself. But actively participating in Jesus' passion, I mean, how closer can you get to someone than to be with and in the midst of their suffering? Mother, sisters?
I don't have to have much time left before we have to break.
About 2, maybe 3 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. You want to say something?
Yeah. I just want to piggyback off of what Sister Gloria was saying, that we have to realize just how much we're loved in order to love others. You know, we have to forgive ourselves in order to forgive others. We have to stop judging ourselves so harshly in order to not judge others. And just one really good practice is doing an examination of conscience. St. Ignatius used to recommend it twice a day, or you can at least do it at night in the evening. Jesus talks a lot to Luisa about not self-reflecting, but this is not what he means. You know, as good Catholics, we have to do an examination of conscience, of course, before confession, but it's very helpful to do it once a day. And it's not about navel gazing. It's not about being scrupulous. It's not about, you know, in our vanity, overanalyzing everything we say and do, but at night in peace, calling upon the Holy Spirit and asking him to look through our day. And St. Ignatius recommends, you know, starting off with gratitude, looking throughout your day for those moments of grace where, you know, the Lord was able to obtain victory in us, where we were able to overcome maybe our natural evils or overcome difficult situations. Then ask him to shed light on those moments where he did give us grace, but we were failed to respond to it. And then basically at the end of it, you know, coming up with asking the Lord what my resolution for tomorrow will be, just kind of like a little simple promise that you're going to work on, you know, just to continue to grow, because, you know, the Lord does everything, but he wants our cooperation. And I find when I do that, when I ask the Holy Spirit to come and shed light on it, and I don't try to pick apart everything myself, it just changes the whole game. And really, the Lord shows us ourselves. He shows us the truth, but he does it with such love and compassion and tenderness. And it's just so beautiful, because in those ways, we're able to grow. We're able to see ourselves. We're not hiding from our own miseries. But at the same time, we also get that strength from the Lord. Yes, you know, I still love you. You've done that. This is how you are. I still love you. And we're going to overcome it. And we're going to do it together. So I just want to encourage everyone, especially this Lent, if you don't have that practice, to maybe do that kind of a daily examination of conscience.
Amen. Thank you for that, sister. Yeah, you know, St. Paul reminds us too in Corinthians 1:13-8:10, quote, love does not come to an end, for our knowledge is imperfect and our prophesizing is imperfect. But once perfection comes, all imperfect things will disappear, end quote. God's been working on us for 6,000, it's taken him 6,000 years, not because he's having difficulty with himself, but he's having difficulty with us. And speaking of difficulty, again, I apologize. I missed the marathon, the Lenten marathon. In fact, I haven't missed Lent yet, have I? I'm still in the midst of Lent, right? Okay. So please, if you can, at 888-408-0201, or go to radiomaria.us for any donation. $100 or more, you'll receive a beautiful portrait of Louisa. Any donation in any amount, you'll receive a relic prayer card of Louisa. We encourage you to please help and support. We don't want to think about what we could have done when we don't have something again. So please, we finally arrived. And Christina Landway is going to remind us we're going back to the other side, finally. Mm-hmm.
Dream.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria, and welcome back, everyone, to the kindergarten of the divine will, the School of Mary. And again, my apologies, I missed the Lenten Mariathon. It was last week, but I've been advised, thanks be to God, that we're still in Lent. So that's a good thing. I haven't missed that. So if you can call, please, 888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us. Sisters, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't speak a bit about St. Patrick, his feast day today. I'd like to read a bit from St. Patrick's breastplate, if I may. And we'll do this with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness, the creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth with his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion with his burial, through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom. St. Patrick goes on to say, I am imperfect in many things. Nevertheless, I want my brethren and kinsfolk to know my nature so that they may be able to perceive my soul's desire. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if I may, just Jesus speaks about this. And St. Patrick is so on point here. He knows he's imperfect. We're all imperfect. But he knows what he wants. He knows his desire. And he knows his inability to get to the means of that desire perfectly. In fact, maybe even at all. Our blessed Lord gives us the encouragement in volume 35, August 23rd, 1937. He says, quote, behooves you to know that the more the soul seeks my will, in seeking to know it, to love it, and to not let it escape from any of its acts, the more my will increases in the soul to its fullness. One additional small attentive act is enough to make my will increase in the soul. As the fullness of my will grows, the divine strength grows in the soul. One additional act means the acquisition of additional divine strength. To make it grow in the fullness of our triune will, my daughter, there is a great difference between those who are absorbed in attention with their eyes and heart fixed on my will and those who are simply content to experience it without giving it much attention, end quote. And, you know, St. Patrick is talking about desire. He wants everyone to know his desire. He knows God knows his desire. And we know desire is so important because Jesus gives us the four steps in living in the divine will. And desire is number one. He states, this is Jesus' words, desire admits us to this gift. Knowledge advances us with this gift. Virtue anchors us in this gift. And life actualizes this gift. Now we continue our journey with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live via live stream from Italy.
Mother, I was thinking of St. Patrick, and throughout the volumes, our Lord talks about the cross. And how the cross purifies us. The cross gets us ready for the mission, whatever God wants us to do. And St. Patrick had to suffer a lot. He was taken captive as a slave, made a slave. He suffered a lot as a young boy. But that's God allowed that to prepare him for the mission, the great mission he was going to give to St. Patrick. So our lives are lives of sufferings. We're in a veil of tears. Life is not always easy in this life. Of course, as we live more and more in his divine will, it gets easier and easier and easier. We get happier and happier. We die to ourselves. As we grow in humility and realize our nothingness, we grow in joy and happiness. It's our human will that makes us unhappy. I was just reading here in volume 12. It says, I was saying to my sweet Jesus, Louisa was speaking here, I don't know. The more you say you give to me by means of your holy volition, the more wretched and ugly I feel. I should feel better, more good. Instead, it is all the opposite. How much do we all feel that way? You're trying to grow in holiness. You're praying, you're reading, you may be doing the acts of reading the Passion Book this Lent. But you still feel your ugliness, your weakness, everything. And Jesus told me, my daughter, the more the grain of my will grows in you, the more you will feel the misery of your straw. In fact, when the ear begins to form, grain and straw, but when the life of the ear keeps forming, as the grain matures, the straw is detached from it and remains only as defense of the grain. Therefore, the more wretched you feel, the more the grain of my will keeps forming in you and is close to perfect maturation. The straw within you is nothing other than your weak nature, which living together with the sanctity and the nobility of my will, feels its misery even more. So as we grow and living in the divine will, and our human will is still there, we're going to feel that weakness until it's totally all gone, until our will and his will become one. Then you won't experience that anymore. You know, I guess Louisa wasn't there yet. If she was experiencing, she was growing and living his divine will. But I think it comes to a point where when you're totally united to God, you won't feel that weakness so much. You'll be so thoughtless of self, you won't feel anything concerning self, you know. Then he added, my beloved, up until now, you have done before me the office which my humanity had upon earth. Now I want to change your office, giving you another one, more noble and more extensive. I want to give you the office which my will had within my humanity. See how much higher and more sublime this is. My humanity had a beginning. My will is eternal. My humanity is circumscribed and limited. My will has no limits and no boundaries. It is immense, a more noble and distinguished office I could not give you. And on hearing this, I said, my sweet Jesus, I can find no reason why you want to give me such an office. Nor have I done anything to deserve such a great favor. And Jesus said, the whole reason is my love, your littleness. You're living in the arms like a baby, my arms like a baby, who cares about nothing but your heart, Jesus alone. And the fact that you have never refused me any sacrifice which I have asked of you. I do not let myself be impressed by great things, because in the things which appear to be great, there is always something human. But by small things, small in appearance, though great in themselves, and then you yourself should have understood that I was to give you a special mission in my will, that continuous speaking to you about my will, that making you understand its admirable effects, which I have done with no one until now. I behave with you like a teacher who wants his disciple to become perfect, either in medicine or in history or in something else. It seems that he cannot speak about anything else. He keeps harping on that point. So I did with you. I assumed the attitude of teacher of divine will, as if I ignored all the rest. After I instructed you well, I manifested to you your mission and how the fulfillment of the fiat voluntas too on earth will begin in you. Courage, my daughter. I see that you are losing heart. Do not fear. You will have all of my will as your help and support. And while he was saying this, he caressed my head, my face, my heart with his hands as though confirming what he was saying. Then he disappeared. So we should not lose courage. If you're a little person, if you have nothing gone for you, you feel that's just what God is looking for. He's looking, he wants to hire you. He wants to hire you to spread his divine will. So your credentials are your littleness. You know, if you feel you're nothingness, you feel you're not capable, then he's looking for you. He's looking for you to work for him.
Okay. If he's looking for nothing, see if he's found it right here.
Yeah, right?
All of us. Thanks be to God. For
far.
Yeah, don't look far. Gosh.
Okay, so today's the feast of Saint Patrick, and as Mother said earlier, he suffered a lot. He had a lot of crosses in his life that he bore and offered up to the Lord. And what makes someone a saint is the way they look at the cross. If they complain about the cross, that means they're not ready for heaven. But if they accept the cross with love and resignation and offer their sufferings united with Christ's sufferings on the cross, then that's what will help them get to heaven. And also, as Sister Gloria was saying earlier, a really important practice to do during Lent is reading the 24 Hours of the Passion. Not just what Louisa wrote here, but also it's really important to look at the reflections and practices and to really just meditate on it.
Because for me personally, whenever I read their reflections and practices, I really feel like Jesus is speaking to me. And in the 18th hour of the Hours of the Passion, from 10 to 11 a.m., Jesus takes up the cross and walks toward Calvary, where he is stripped. I'm going to read this passage at the moment when Jesus took up his cross. My tortured good, with you I repair, with you I suffer. But I see that your enemies hurry down the stairs. The people await you with fury and eagerness. They make you find the cross ready, which you long for with many sighs. And you, with love, you gaze on it, and with firm step you approach it and embrace it. But before that, you kiss it, and as a shiver of joy runs through your most holy humanity, with highest contentment, you gaze on it again, measuring its length and breadth. In it already, you establish the portion for each creature. You dower them all, enough to bind them to the divinity with the bond of marriage, and make them heirs of that kingdom of heaven. Then, unable to contain the love with which you loved them, you kiss the cross again and say, "Adored cross, finally I embrace you. You are the longing of my heart, the martyrdom of my love. But you, O cross, have delayed until now, while my steps were always toward you. Holy cross, you are the goal of my desires, the purpose of my existence down here. In you I concentrate my whole being. In you I place all my children, and you will be their life, their light, defense, custody, and strength. You will assist them in everything, and will bring them gloriously to me in heaven. O cross, pulpit of wisdom, you alone will teach true sanctity. You alone will form the heroes, the athletes, the martyrs, the saints. Beautiful cross, you are my throne, and since I have to leave the earth, you will remain in my place. To you I give all souls as dowry. Keep them, save them, I entrust them to you." And skipping to a little passage I'm going to read from Reflections and Practices following this hour. Jesus carries the cross. The love of Jesus for the cross, his anxious ardor to die on it for the salvation of souls, are immense. And we, do we love suffering like Jesus? Can we say that our heartbeats echo his divine heartbeats, and that we too ask for our cross? So in reading this passage and just meditating on Jesus' eagerness to carry the cross for us so he can die for us on the cross, it's really important to remember whatever crosses God allows in our life, instead of complaining or grumbling about it, or like just getting angry at God about it, instead of doing all that, just accepting the cross with love and resignation, and remembering that Jesus is allowing this cross in my life, whatever this cross may be, in order to help us to be the heroes, the athletes, the martyrs, and the saints that he wants us to be. And if we want to live in his most holy and divine will, then we should, instead of complaining about our crosses or whatever discomforts we may have, just offering it up to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, in with your divine will, I offer you up this cross I'm suffering now for the conversion of sinners, for example." And in that way, we'll grow in holiness. And during this Lent season, it's really important to remember to just mortify your flesh as well. Just fasting is important. To not complain about the crosses that come to us, and doing all these things will help us to live more in his holy and divine will.
Excellent. Hi, Grace. Grace, you made a good point there, and I want to make sure that we reflect on this. You mentioned about the reflections and practices at the conclusion of each of the Hours of the Passion. They really are so vital. St. Hannibal de Francia, a saint, was involved in that and wrote that. And it's a nice little summary. It gives you a ponder beyond, and plus you're getting a reflection of a saint. So, you know, this is beautiful. So, and, you know, some of the volumes or some of the versions of the Hours of the Passion do not include that. So if you can find a set that does have the reflections and practices, I know on our website, we do have it both in audiobook and in text, and that's queenofthedivinewill.org, but there's on many other websites as well, but those are really important. Again, words of the saint should be taken very seriously. Mothers, sisters.
Yeah, as Grace was speaking about the cross, it reminded me of another passage of the Divine Will that I read about how much the Lord wants our consent. He wants our free choice. He wants our voluntary sufferings. He doesn't want to force us into anything. And I just want to read a passage. I'm actually not from the Divine Will. I'm also reading a book written by Fulton Sheen about Our Lady. It's called The World's First Love, Mary, Mother of God. And I just read a passage this morning that was so beautiful. And it just, to me, it was just so divine will. And I wanted to share it because it talks about the incarnation and how important our freedom is, how important our freedom is to God. So he says, "Now we come to the greatest act of freedom the world has ever known, the reversal of that free act which the head of humanity performed in paradise when he chose non-God against God. It was the moment in which that unfortunate choice was reversed, when God in his mercy willed to remake man and to give him a fresh start in a new birth of freedom under God. God could have made a perfect man to start humanity. God could have made a perfect man to start humanity out of dust, as he had done in the beginning. He could have made the new man start the new humanity from nothing, as he had done in making the world. And he could have done it without consulting humanity, but this would have been the invasion of human privilege. God would not take a man out of the world of freedom without the free act of a free being. God's way with man is not dictatorship, but cooperation. If he would redeem humanity, it would be with human consent and not against it. God could destroy evil, but only at the cost of human freedom. And that would be too high a price to pay for the destruction of dictatorship on earth to have a dictator in heaven. Before remaking humanity, God willed to consult with humanity so that there would be no destruction of human dignity. The particular person whom he consulted was a woman. In the beginning, it was man who was asked to ratify the gift. This time it is a woman. The mystery of the incarnation is very simply that of God's asking a woman freely to give him a human nature. In so many words, through the angel, he was saying, will you make me a man? As from the first Adam came the first Eve, so now in the rebirth of man's dignity, the new Adam will come from the new Eve. And in Mary's free consent, we have the only human nature that was ever born in perfect liberty." Just so many things came to my mind when I first read that. I'm kind of drawing a blank now, but how we're called to that same cooperation with our Blessed Mother. You know, she started the wheels in motion. God consulted her. He wanted humanity's consent, and he went through our Blessed Mother. And he wants the same thing in the fiat of sanctification. You know, he can remake everything. He can bring us back to our origin in a flash, but he doesn't want to do it on his own. He needs our consent, and he wants our consent because that's how much he loves us. Our free will is super important. And just like Our Lady handed over her will in that fiat and let it be done to me according to that and to thy word, Mary has to be our model. We have to repeat the same thing with her. And just one last thing, one of my catechism students the other day asked me, why did God make Mary suffer so much? And I think it was just the Holy Spirit that came out. The first thing that came out was he didn't make her suffer that much. He asked her if she would suffer that much. And she said, yes. And God's asking us all that same question. Will you cooperate with me? Will you suffer with me? Will you give me your yes so that I can bring man back to the dignity, to the perfect image and likeness that I created him to be? And that's what we have to strive to do as we journey in the divine will.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned about Mary suffering, and she did suffer everything that Jesus did. We learn also in the City of God, Mary Agreda, that Jesus actually, because of his love for his mother, I mean, we can never be more Marian than Jesus is, so never, don't worry about being too Marian. But he asked the Father, is it possible that we spare my mom some of this? And the Father responded, again, I'm paraphrasing, she is accepting this. She requires this. She needs this to be the complete and total mother. She knows exactly what we're going through as she disposes us to receive this gift. Just like Jesus in his humanity, he learned, well, he knows what it's like to be here. He knows us better than we do. So this is all set. It's all set in motion. That was a great sharing. Thank you. And that book, again, was The World's First Love by Fulton Sheen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to get that myself. Back to you, mother, sisters.
Volume 25, our Lord was telling Louisa how sorrowful he was over three volumes being lost, the negligence. He said, you cannot comprehend the sorrow in seeing the negligence of the ones who have lost the three volumes of my divine will. How many truths were not inside of them? How many lives have they not suffocated, forming the tomb for my children that with so much love I issued from my paternal womb? On the part of those who have had no care to the point of causing them to be lost, I feel that they have broken the plan of my divine will and its long story, spoken to you with so much love in order to make it known. Because every time I would set myself to tell you what pertained to my fiat, the ardor of my love was so great that I felt I was renewing the act of creation, especially when in the order of our love, man was created. And he goes on to say further, he says, if you knew how much I suffer in each truth of these volumes that they have lost with so much negligence, I feel myself being given death and as many deaths for as many truths as were inside of them. Not only this, but death to all the good that those truths were to bring and death to the glory that they were to give me. But they will pay for this with so much more fire in purgatory for as many truths as they have caused to be lost. Know, however, that if they do not use all the means in order to find them, because I want their cooperation, I will not make the miracle that some would want that they may be found. And this as chastisement of their negligence, these births, these truths, these dear children and lives of ours, that we issued, however, we shall not withdraw, because what comes out of the womb of our divinity as relator and bearer of a great good for creatures is not withdrawn by us because of the ingratitude and negligence of those who have lost so many truths of ours. Therefore, when the kingdom of our will becomes known upon earth and will reign on it, then I will make it so as to manifest again what has been lost, because if I did not do so, the nexus and the connection and the plan as whole of the kingdom of the divine fiat would be missing. So how much each truth in these books, how important they are to God, every truth. And that's why we read them over and over and over again, because we're not too smart. We can't remember them. God has to keep on. It has to keep on. We have to keep on reading over and over and over again. I know this this man, Jose Acuna, I think in Mexico City. He had a bunch of children, seven children. And he had them memorize volumes 7 and 8. They memorized when they were children.
Wow.
The volumes. But as you read them over and over, the truths are buried in your heart. And so that's what he told Louisa. He in her heart. And so before she would actually write them down. So we have to understand the value of all of these knowledges. And how important they are to God. He suffers from the loss of three of these books so much.
Yeah. God's about order. You know, we know that he tells us about that. And, you know, like in the kindergarten, you know, when we're done using something, we have to return it to our cubicle. If it's not, we get in trouble. And again, thank God those volumes were returned. I've got about a minute and a half left, Mother. Any closing thoughts on today or any admonition?
Encourage you to read the divine will, to stick with it every day. Don't let it go by. I mean, we've talked in the past about all the time that we waste doing other things. You can find enough time. You can find 30 minutes in a day to read the divine will, even if it's broken up in 10-minute slots. Everybody can read it. So I encourage you to read it, to ponder it, to let it soak into your heart and soul so that you can truly live in God's divine will.
Amen. Very well said. Thank you, Mother. I'd like to end with the words of St. Louis de Montfort, and we'll do this in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Mary has authority over the angels and the blessed in heaven. As a reward for her great humility, God gave her the power and mission of assigning to saints the thrones made vacant by the apostate angels who, through pride, such is the will of the Almighty God, who exalts the humble and the powers of heaven, earth, and hell, willingly or unwillingly, must obey the commands of the humble Virgin Mary. End quote. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters. And thank you, Radio Maria, for this opportunity. And again, my last apology for today. I'll keep doing this, though. I missed the Mariathon, but that doesn't mean we cannot participate now. In fact, sometimes it's even better getting a Christmas gift after Christmas because you're alone. So please call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us. A donation of $100 or more, you'll get a beautiful portrait of Louisa. Any donation in any amount, you'll get a relic prayer card of Louisa Picquetta. So please give. It'd be a shame not to be able to broadcast this and many other programs. Thank you. God bless everyone. And hopefully see you next week. Ciao.